185 in our hymn book. 185.
Thank you. This is my favorite hymn. Start with the first verse. Romans chapter 1, if you would, this morning. Hope I can make it clear what I'm going to talk about here this morning. In Romans chapter 1, we ended with, "For I am not ashamed," in verse 16, "of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Then the next verse tells us something else about the gospel of Christ. Verse 17, "For therein," and I believe that therein is in the gospel of Christ, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, I'm only going to talk on that verse, but I want to read down through verse 25, because I'll probably say a few things about these verses as well. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray you'd help me as I preach this morning to say things that would be a blessing and would teach us some things about the gospel of Christ that this world should know but willingly turns a blind eye to it or changes it into another kind of gospel which is of no value at all. So help me as I preach, and help those who hear to be able to take it in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This gospel of Christ, which Paul is preaching, and he is just not ashamed of it in any way. We talked about this last week. He's ready to preach the gospel to the people there at Rome, starting with the Jew and also the Gentile, the Greek. But he wants to say something about this gospel of Christ, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The problem is that the rest of the verses that I read here, you find men taking what they should know, what they should know as truth, and holding it down, pushing it down. And I believe the reason is they don't like the gospel of Christ because it presents the righteousness of God. I mean, and as you preach Jesus Christ to people, you are preaching to them all about righteousness. And you know what? This world does not like righteousness. It likes its own form of righteousness. And it usually comes down to being this, self-righteousness, a righteousness that they create for themselves, a righteousness that feels good for them. And that's why I read 18 through 25, because what we see them doing with the truth is they push down the truth. See there, verse 18, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then they end up denying the creation of the world and the wisdom of God and the eternal power and Godhead. They reject all of that. And the reason they reject it is because the gospel requires of them a righteousness which they themselves cannot, nor are they even desirous to follow after. Now, it would be easy for you and me to say, yes, preacher, that's right. Amen. Preach it. That's right. That's the way this world is. Hey, you know what? You and I were once there ourselves. Before we trusted Christ as Savior, we would do anything we could to establish our own righteousness. Maybe to go a different way, like I believe in evolution, you know, I believe in, or as the pagans of the past did, they would create their own God, the God of their own desire, their own making. And they would make images of this God, like it says there, like unto corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. It's interesting to look historically and archaeologically at the gods and images that the pagans of the past made for themselves in the place of the true God who reveals himself through the creation itself. And they end up worshiping the creation or the creature rather than the creator of all these things. And the thing about it is, the reason why they don't like the creator of all things is because he demands a righteousness which man cannot do on his own. And man, in order to be made righteous before God, must submit himself to the righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ himself. And they don't want that. I've said this before. If you remember, we've done several series on creation versus evolution. And one of the main things that we can bring out about the evolutionists is they must and have to hold on to evolution as their theory of where everything came and origins and things like that, because the only other alternative is that God created everything, and that to them is not tolerable. It's not because they can't see any proof of that there is a creator. It's just they don't want a creator, especially one who's going to intervene and demand a righteousness that they can't produce on their own. And also, they don't want a God telling them, this is how you will become righteous if you ever become righteous at all. It will be through my Son, Jesus Christ, who, by the way, created everything. That they don't like either. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He manifested himself to the people to declare to them that he was, the Son of God. He did miracles in front of them. He caused people to be made whole. He raised the dead. He even created things right in front of their eyes. But you see, the problem was, he also said, I've not come to save the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance. Well, I'm not that bad. You see, that's the response. I'm not that bad. Why, we Pharisees are pretty good. We keep the law. They didn't like that. They don't mind talking about a creator, but one who wants to intervene in their lives and tell them that they're sinners and that they need to repent and trust the creator of all things, that they don't want. And so they reject the idea of a creator God, and in his place they put their own reasonings, rationalities, and things like that, and they say, we, by reasoning, will determine where we came from. And one of the things they have determined that they came from is we come from natural things. We came from things that already are here. And my Bible says no. Things that are already here came from things that were not. In other words, God created everything that you and I see out of nothing. He spake it into existence. And then so go to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Excuse me for stopping every once in a while. I'm just as dry as can be. And you can make a joke out of that if you want to. Yeah, Pastor, you are dry today. I hope I'm not. I hope I'm a little bit exciting here this morning, okay? Notice Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. I'm going to start at verse 37 because there's a phrase here that's right out of our passage in Romans. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Folks, I believe that it refers to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come. He'll not tarry. Now, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. Didn't we just read that in Romans? In other words, if you're going to live out your life the way you're supposed to, you're going to have to live it out by faith. Not by nature, not by proving to yourself that there is no, you know, one of the things that men want to do is prove there's no God. Yeah, interesting how they trip all over themselves trying to prove that there is no God when the proof of God is all around them. And God says, hey, you know what? If you're going to live at all, you're going to have to live by faith. They do not want anything that represents faith to be allowed to come into the discussion as to where did we come from and where are we going. That's why they cannot stand that creationism should be taught right alongside of evolutionism in our public schools. They just cannot stand that because that interjects, that means I'm going to have to live by faith. I'm going to have to take some things by faith. And the truth of the matter is that's what God demands that they do. Exercise faith. The just shall live by faith. If you're going to be just, if you're going to end up in heaven someday, it's going to have to be by faith that you do. Verse 39. But we are, or rest of verse 38. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You know, those who want to deny that there is a creator, that there is a God, they want to say the saving of our soul will be done by ourselves. We will make ourselves better. We will evolve better. We will make man better. Anything but God getting involved in saving us. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith. Now here it is. If you're going to live by faith in order to be just, the just shall live by faith. You're going to get to heaven. Guess what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. They say, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, then it's not something I can live by. I got to be able to see it, taste it, handle it. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, talking about the Old Testament. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And back in Romans, you just go right back there now. I did read a few of the other verses I said because I would make mention to them. Verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him, I'm back in Romans chapter 1, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. They are clearly seen. Why is it that men can't see it? Why? You know why? Because they refuse to see. They willingly reject the evidence all around them that God created everything by the words coming right out of his mouth. And the proof of it is all over the place. I was listening to Richard Dawkins the other day. Richard Dawkins is an atheist. He does not believe in God or creation. In fact, he spends his time trying to poke fun at the Christians who hold to creation. And the sad thing is, many Christians give him a lot of ammunition to poke fun and make fun of our belief in everything because of compromising the Word of God with evolution. For instance, this. Imagine a Christian preacher saying, all right, I understand, Mr. Dawkins, you don't believe that 6,000 years ago God created everything in 6 24-hour days. Well, how about, Mr. Dawkins, please, if you would please listen to us a little bit, would it be okay if we change those days to long periods of time? I mean, we can compromise a little bit with that. And Richard Dawkins, almost like the devil, just sits there and laughs at us. We have all the proof we need just by the things that are clearly seen that God created everything by the word of his mouth faster than 6 24-hour days. In fact, we could almost say, why did it take him so long? He could have done it quicker than 6 24-hour days if he wanted to. Why did he take so long? Because all he has to do is speak it into existence. Well, I bring up Richard Dawkins because I want to show you or just tell you what he thinks about how things came to be. For instance, the seeing eye. It was interesting to listen to him talk about the seeing eye. He says, well, here's how we came to have an eye like we have today. It started out with a very simple animal having a very simple eye that could only see the difference between brightness and darkness. Cells that were gathered together on the forehead or the top side of this particular animal. I mean, he's talking like this, all right? And these cells gathered together and were able to determine between darkness and light. Then imagine, if you would, that same group of cells having a little change where they cup together, and now they can see light, and they can move the whole animal towards the light now, based upon what these cells have evolved to. And then imagine, if you will, do you hear me saying, imagine if he will? He says that throughout his whole argument. Imagine, if ye will, this same group of cells now forming a cup around the edge of all these, which would now not only allow them to see light and darkness, or sun and no sun, but now they would be able to see what direction the light is coming from. And then imagine, if you will, and it will go on and on like this. Imagine, you have to have quite an imagination to come to the point of the complex eye we all have in our heads here this morning. And not only that, while that is evolving, as Richard Dawkins says, another one has to be evolving at the same time on the other side, exactly the same as this one over here, because eventually these two have to go like this. And now I'm making fun of Richard Dawkins. He is a fool. And you say, Pastor Freeman, that's kind of tough language. Verse 22, back in Romans, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And while he was giving this imagine, if you will, fake evolutionary process, which cannot be seen anywhere going on in our world at all, except when he crosses over from one species to another. He'll say, well, what I'm really saying is, see, I'm talking about a species of animals that just only have the ability to see between light and dark. Then there's another species over here that can see a little bit better. And then another species over here, imagine if you will, another species over here has a cup around this set of cells, which allows them to see which direction it's in. So now these animals, never do we find his imagine, if we will, process happening within one species. It's always a whole bunch scattered here and there, and he throws them all together, and out comes the human seeing eye. You know what, folks? This is the thinking of a man who has said there is no God. And yet Paul says, I present to you a gospel of Christ, which within dwells the righteousness of God, so that a man can live out his life with the knowledge of this within creation and end up saved, righteous, justified, going to heaven. But he has to reject Richard Dawkins and receive the gospel of Christ. And you know what this gospel of Christ does to everyone who believes in it? It changes their lives. It makes a new creature out of them and makes them just and righteous. And I couldn't help, and I'm just going to do this and then end this service here today, because you know my situation and I know your situation listening to me today. Would you go with me to Titus chapter 3? You say, Titus, what are you going to do with Titus and all this? Well, please go there if you would. Titus chapter 3, and I'm just going to start at verse 1. And when we get to verse 4, I want you to see how this goes along with Romans chapter 1, that the gospel of Christ has within it the righteousness of God, which of course is through Jesus Christ himself. All right, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject. Paul is telling Titus, a young preacher boy. Okay, let's just call him a young preacher boy. Timothy was a preacher boy as well. I call him preacher boy because that's what I was for 3 summers for a long time as well. I was a preacher boy, learning how to be a preacher and a minister and to be a pastor of a church and so forth. And Paul was teaching Timothy and Titus and others what they should do. Put them in mind, verse 1, to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes, what does it say?
Foolish.
Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. And by the way, you know, this is what happens to a society that turns its back on God and believes we all came here by mere random mutational changes, which, there was no guiding light behind any of these things. We just happened to come along the way we are. No guiding director, no intelligent designer. Just, it came about just this way. What happens to people like that? They live foolishly, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Folks, that's the world we live in. And the further they get away from the truth, and what is the truth? That God created everything by the word of his mouth. And he did it through Jesus Christ, in whom, if you trust, he will make a new creature out of you. And you won't be like verse 3. He says, Paul says, for remember, we once were like that. But I want you to put the followers of Christ in remembrance to be like this, something different. Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. When did that happen? When Jesus left heaven and came down here and intervened into the workings of man and showed himself right here among us. He did it prophetically, even in times before Christ was born. He did it way back in Genesis when he told Adam and Eve after they fell into sin that there's going to come one who will destroy Satan and defeat him. He was talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ someday. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. You see the gospel right there in the book of Genesis. God would intervene in all of creation in order to help men become just. And it would be through Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says, wow, I'm glad to be able to be preaching this gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. to anyone who has turned their minds against God who created everything, I've got a gospel that'll change you. The just shall live by faith. And it goes on in Titus here. Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Just to throw in some teaching about the Holy Ghost. Wasn't it great having Matt Renzi here preaching to us? Three sermons on the Holy Spirit. If you haven't heard those, get online and listen to them. I think you'll be blessed by them. Notice here who makes this person righteous. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. No, not we. But according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. What did he shed on us abundantly? I believe the working of the Holy Ghost he shed on us abundantly. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Therefore, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, the just shall live by faith, they that have believed in God, and let me ask you this morning, raise your hand if you have believed in God for salvation. Raise your hand. All right, we can put it down. I'm not making you raise your hand so that I can see who did and who didn't. I just want you to realize you're being talked about right here. And the young preacher's being told to tell you something. Now that you have believed in this kindness and love of God our Savior toward man that has appeared. It's appeared through the gospel of Christ. What is he telling him to do? Verse 8, this is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. You mean verse 3 is no longer foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice. No, no, that's gone now. The gospel of Christ brings a righteousness into our life, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. That's as far as I wanted to go there. I just wanted to show you that the gospel of Christ, which Paul back in Romans chapter 1 is preaching, brings forth righteousness in the lives of those who believe it. And the just shall live by faith. Now, those who refuse to do this are going to be talked about back in Romans chapter 1 in verses 18 all the way through the rest of the chapter. I know some of you are just waiting for your pastor to preach on those verses of Scripture. You say, oh boy, wait till he gets down there and talks about they make images of God of four-footed beasts and so forth. Yes, and we're gonna deal with that. We're going to take some time to look at these verses here. But how about like verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Did I not tell you that there was a recent political convention? And the speaker list is a list of almost every perversion that there is going on in this world. Representing almost every perversion going on in this world. You say, I know you want to say Democratic and you're afraid to say Democratic. And, I'm sorry. I said it, didn't I? Well, imagine if you would. that something good is going to come out of that. And I'll tell you what, the Republican side wasn't much better. They had some representatives from lifestyles that shouldn't be either. You know what? The further this country gets away from the truth of the gospel of Christ, which within itself reveals to us creation and that God created everything in the Word, just in a word. In fact, why did he take so long? I don't know. You get what I mean by that, by the way? I believe God could have created everything that we see here in this amount of time. Like that. He chose to take 6 days, 24 hours in each day to do it. Which we could ask, why did he take so long? There's a reason. There's a reason. He wanted to give us a week. 7 days. And he did it very well. And when he was all done, he said, behold, it is very good. But a problem came, and that is when Adam and Eve disobeyed in the Garden of Eden. And the day they did was the day they died. And all of our problems in our world today is because of that. But oh, the Richard Dawkins of our day, you know what they would say? Well, I believe that Adam and Eve must have had a DNA deficiency, which caused them to have a tendency to desire that fruit of the tree, which God had told them not to eat thereof. But their DNA had a problem, and it caught. Or today you'll hear it this way: alcoholism is a disease. You know, wait a minute. Getting drunk in the Bible is sin. It's called sin. But see, when you deny a creator and that he made all things, and you reject the gospel of Christ, which will make you just and give you a new life to live, then you have to blame it on, well, the nature, the environment, the natural world we live in has caused all these things. And you begin to bring forth a different gospel. And the gospel of Christ will save the drunkard. The gospel of Christ will also give us new bodies in Christ Jesus someday up in heaven. Oh, yes. But only the gospel of Christ will bring that. Not evolutionary progression that will eventually overcome all these things. And if, we take care of our planet, you know what? The God who created this planet is going to judge it someday with fire. And he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth out of everything. Oh no, not these, imagine if you would, people. Eventually, you know, the cells that are going to cup around and make you be able to see. Eventually, evolution is going to solve all the problems in our world. You know what I find? Evolution and self-like theories are causing more trouble than ever before. Now, of course, we've got religion and people who have distorted religion and caused a lot of problems over the years. And yes, we can say religion has caused a lot of problems, but you know why? It's a religion that is not faithful to the Word of God. We must be faithful to the Word of God in order for the just to really live by faith and end up in heaven someday through the gospel of Christ. And as far as I'm concerned, and I hope as you are concerned as well, I'm a debtor to preach this gospel. And I'm ready to preach it. And I'm persuaded that it is able to save souls who believe in it and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so I'm going to keep on preaching this gospel. And I hope you will too. until we either die or the rapture takes place. Those are the only two ways it would stop. All right. Either the rapture or we die eventually, which we're all going to do. I sure would like the rapture. I like that one. But if we must die, as we're all going to die, well then so be it. I'm going to keep on preaching the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God. And therein a man can live in such a way that he will end up in heaven. And it's not by works. It's by the grace of God through the gospel of Christ that has appeared. And he has appeared, certainly has. And which is being shown to men through the Holy Ghost, who's seeking to convict men and convince men of their need to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, look there, I went real long anyway. So we're going to stop right there. I hope it made some sense to you. I really hope that, imagine if you would, doesn't make any sense to you, the Richard Dawkins of our world. But I hope the things that we find right in here make sense. And you know what? If you get a chance, go out this afternoon and look at some of the things that clearly tell us that there is a God who made everything. It didn't just come here by mere evolutionary random chance. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And I pray that you would help us to be found faithful all the way up to the day we die or the rapture of the church, presenting the gospel of Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Yes, as men trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, all old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And preachers like Titus are encouraged to encourage those who have believed to maintain good works and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. May we do the same thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 461 in your hymn book, if you would. 461 in your hymn book. I wonder, how is it with you? Do you want to serve the Lord better now than ever before? What is it that makes Christians want to serve the Lord? You've been saved. That's why. You've been saved, and the just shall live by faith. How about this song then, 461? Ralph, come on up and lead it. Come on up and lead it. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. I want to be like Jesus. Okay, Jason.